Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're broadcasting right there in North Florida through WMAF, this wonderful radio station, hallelujah, that brings family-friendly programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, streams by computer. So we invite anyone who's listening by computer to join us as we get ready to gather around the Word of God. And we're so grateful to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. And we are so very blessed that you have become part of the listening family. Praise God. We pray that this is a growing family. Amen. And we join with other fine ministries right there in Madison and North Florida that broadcast along with us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that we might join our hearts in this great effort to publish the good news, amen, of what Christ has done for us on the cross at Mount Calvary. Amen. So if you're not a Christian today, we invite you to be our very, very special guest for this time of study around the Word of God. Amen. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we invite you to enjoy with us the rich blessings of God as we understand more about His person, His purpose for our life, His provision in Jesus Christ for everyone that will come to Him by faith, amen, and receive His Son as Savior. All right, if you have your Bibles, get ready to open them to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 34, verse 15 through verse 19. We're speaking on the subject to pray anyway. If God's people will find the resolve and the courage of heart and the discipline of life, the devotion of life to pray in spite of how we feel and what we see, let me assure you by the Word of God to give you that incentive today. God listens. He is listening for our prayers. I believe we're going to see things that we have never even imagined. You know, the Bible said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. But the book of James says the first reason we have not is because we ask not. And the New Testament tells us that we should ask in prayer, believing that whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. So faith is used in this avenue of prayer, in this atmosphere of prayer. This is where our faith is to be released and focused. Yes, in the promises of the Word of God. Yes, in all that the Word that we stand upon. But prayer is that release of faith as a point of contact with God Himself. Because prayer is always directed to God. It isn't praying to ourselves or our faith just creating something. It's our faith reaching out and reaching up to the Lord Himself. Praise God, and God reaching down to answer. Hallelujah. So when the answer comes, our faith doesn't get the glory. We do not receive the honor for the answer. God receives the glory. God receives the honor. He designed prayer, amen, in such a way that we could be bold and courageous in our faith, but to give God the honor and the glory when the answer comes. He's designed prayer as that balance, that counterbalance that we never, even through great faith, begin to get a sense of independence from God. Amen. Prayer, amen, keeps us dependent upon the Lord. It proves our dependence upon the Lord. If we just go out by faith without praying, we are depending on our faith. Actually, we've got faith in our faith when our faith should be in our Father. Amen. All right. Having said that, we're going to read this scripture on the subject of praying anyway. Listen carefully to what the Word of God is teaching us about prayer today. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And how does he respond to our need for his help in our life, in particular his deliverance from all the troubles that can befall us in faulty bodies living in a fallen world? Amen. His eyes are upon the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. This is about prayer to a God who hears, and prayer to a God who answers. And so I said it last week, I want to reiterate it. It is the constant practice of real believers, when in distress, to cry unto God. And it is their constant comfort and consolation that God hears them. And the reason God hears us, dear friends, is because we are loved by covenant. We're not just loved out of some emotion that God would have, but a covenant he made with Abraham and has reestablished to a greater measure through Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. These were covenant people that he was talking to. And you and I, if you're a Christian, amen, today, are a covenant man, a covenant woman. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. So we are in a covenant relationship with God. And therefore the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Eyes. Think about that. God has eyes. Even though God is a spirit, it says the eyes of the Lord. These eyes are special. They don't just look at or observe like our human eyes do. They're not limited like our human eyes are. They can see without, but they can't see within. God looks beyond all the attitudes and even the activities of our life, and he looks at the very intentions of our heart. God sees us like no one sees us. Therefore, God knows us like no one else could ever know us. You see, God's eyes are related to his heart. They seek, they find, they gaze upon us. Means their gaze upon us means that we are never abandoned nor forsaken. In the darkest valley, when you cannot see God, be assured God sees you. I want to say that again. Someone in particular, I believe that I'm speaking to, that is wondering, does God even know? Does he even understand what I'm facing, where I am, what I'm going through? I want to say it again. In the darkest valley, when you cannot see God, be assured God sees you. Amen. When you pray to God, you're not going to tell him something he doesn't know. Prayer is a way of expressing your faith and your trust in him. But believe me, friend, you're not informing him of your need when you pray. God knows what you have need of. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the darkest valley, when you cannot see God, be assured God sees you. One day, this true story is related. A two-story house caught on fire. The family was making its way out of the house when the smallest boy became terrified, tore away from his mother, ran back upstairs. Suddenly, he appeared at a smoke-filled window, crying hysterically. Standing outside, his father shouted, "Jump, son, jump, I will catch you." The boy cried, "But Daddy, I can't see you." "I know," his father called, "but I can see you." The lad jumped in the certain faith that the love and strength of his father would not fail him. Amen. This is what I've often told our congregation, and I want to say it to this radio congregation today, biblical faith is not jumping to conclusions, it's concluding to jump. It is saying, Lord, even when I can't see you, I know that you can see me. Even when I can't seem to hear you, I know that your ears are open to my cry. Your eyes are upon me. Your ears are open to my cry. You know, Jesus tried to tell us about this relationship with the Father. He said, you know, he said, not one sparrow falls from the sky without your Father seeing it, taking it to heart. And you are worth more than many sparrows. He went on to even get more personal and intimate than that about how the Father relates to us. And he said, the very hair of your head is numbered, and listen, your Father knows it all together. That is an incredible, that a God as great as our God could be as gracious as our God. And to care enough about us to take to heart and to note in his infinite mind and mentality that he would take it to his mind and heart. How many hairs are upon my head? Friend of mine, I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in the world that knows me like God knows me. And you know why? Because there's no one in this world that loves me and you like God loves us. No one. Listen, God loved you enough while you were a sinner, and if you are a sinner today, to give his only begotten Son, that you might not perish, but that you might have everlasting life. Praise God. God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. By the way, if you're not his child today, you can't claim to be right with him, right-wise with him. That's what righteousness means. It's not sinless perfection. No one can do that. But you can be right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. You can be reconciled unto him. Your sins and mine can be forgiven. And that leaves us right with God. And Paul said, boy, they'll never quit pointing the finger at you. I know the devil will never quit condemning you. And people may never forgive you. But I want you to know something. You can forgive people and you can be forgiven of Almighty God. And when you are, the Apostle Paul said, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. That's all that really matters, isn't it? It is God is for us, that we can be right with God. Amen. When I get ready to leave this world, knowing that I'm right with God is the greatest knowledge one could ever possess. Knowing that I do not have to fear the judgment to come. Knowing that my good deeds against my bad deeds, or my deeds that I should have done, are not going to be weighed in a balance and hoping that it might just tip the balance enough to go to heaven. No, my soul is too important. Salvation is too precious. Amen. The awful plight of the wicked is too terrifying to leave it that way. God has provided a safety. God has provided in Jesus Christ a place of great security where we can be saved and know that we are saved. And we can be saved because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. And we can be called right with God. Righteous means right, wise with God. God. And that's the bottom line. That's where it really, really matters. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 66 and verse 20 says, blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. One translator says of that verse, praise God who did not ignore my prayer and did not withdraw his unfailing love from me. God's eyes are upon you, friend, because of his unfailing love for you. Amen. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible said the justifiable anger, the wrath of God abides upon you. He can't look over your sin, but he yearns and desires to forgive your sin and reconcile you unto Himself. Amen. His eyes are on you right now for salvation. He knows you, and yet He loves you. He sees every sin that you've ever committed, but He gave His Son so you could be forgiven. And when you pray that prayer of repentance and seeking forgiveness and receiving Christ as your Savior, amen, He does something so powerful, so personal, so wonderful. As it is written, saith God, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. And friend, when God forgives your sin, He doesn't just leave you an old sinner saved by grace, but subject to Satan and left down here on your own to muddle through this world. He brings you into His royal family, and you're able to address the Creator of the universe and all that is in it, including you and me. This God of all creation and this God of our salvation, we are able to address Him as Abba, Father. And Jesus said, when you pray, acknowledge your relationship to Him and with Him. Amen. So you can pray in confidence and consolation. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Reverence Him. He may be your father, but He's not your old man. Give Him reverence, but acknowledge we have a Father in heaven, not just a force in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God who hath not turned away my prayer. His eyes are on you, friend, because of His unfailing love for you. The God we serve not only sees you, knows you intimately, He listens when we pray. Psalm 34, verse 15 says, His ears are open to their cry. David didn't doubt God's love, therefore he trusted that He would hear and help when he prayed. Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. Literally, inclined His ear unto me means He bends down and listens when I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the Lord because He heard my prayer. I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice, turning His ear always to me, David said. Knowing God is listening assures us that He will answer us. Amen. Hallelujah. I like what Francois Fenelon said. He was a martyr. They killed him for faith in Jesus Christ. And the way that I understand that he was killed for the sake of the gospel, they cut off a finger a day for a while trying to get him to recant his faith in Christ, and he of course did not. Then they took and put a rope underneath his arms, and they pulled him up to a great height, let the rope go, and dropped him. So when he hit the ground, bones shattered and bones were broken. And they did it over and over again until he died from the shock of those injuries. And he withstood all of that and kept the testimony of Jesus steadfast. And his prayer life involved an intimacy with God, able to call upon the Lord in the day of his trouble, find the grace and strength he needed at that very time. So I want to read you what Francis Fenelon said about prayer. He said, and I quote, tell God all that is in your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains, to a dear friend. Tell God your troubles, that God may comfort you. Tell God your joys, that God may sober them. Tell God your longings, that God may purify them. Tell God your dislikes, that God may help you conquer them. Talk to God of your temptations, that God may shield you from them. Show God the wounds of your heart, that God may heal them. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. Talk out of the abundance of the heart. Without consideration, say just what you think. Blessed are they who attain such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. François Fenelon. Ah, friend, how we need to come into the presence of the Lord, to have an audience with Him, to talk to Him about everything that is touching us, to know that He invites us into His presence, that He listens. When we can't see Him, He sees us. When we can't hear Him, He hears us. So when we sing, as A.W. Tozer says, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord," we are not thinking of the nearness of place, but the nearness of relationship. It is for increasing degrees of awareness that we pray, for a more perfect consciousness of the divine presence. We need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul. Hallelujah. Closer than our most secret thoughts. I like what Timothy Jones also said, "God does not stand afar off as I struggle to speak. He cares enough to listen with more than casual attention. He translates my scrubby words and hears what is truly inside. He hears my sighs and uncertain gropings as fine prose." Hallelujah. It's not praying with an eloquence. It's praying from the heart. It's being completely open and completely honest with God. And when we're completely open and honest with God, I guarantee you by the authority of God's Word that God listens when His children pray. He either says yes or no or wait, but He always hears prayer. And remember, when God says wait, God's delay is not necessarily His denial. That's why we titled this teaching, "Pray Anyway." If you've prayed and you didn't get an answer and you're giving up on prayer, pray again. Pray again. I know there are theologies out there that are being taught, hyper-faith, I call it. If you ask again, it is a lack of faith. But Jesus taught us to pray without ceasing, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Listen, Jesus says, "Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive." And it is in the continual sense in the Greek. It means ask and keep on asking. Not ask as if He hasn't heard, but ask again because you know He's listening. And because you have His heart, you have His ear. And because you have His ear, you pray. You keep praying. Amen. Jesus taught this principle in the parable of the unjust judge. It said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's why He told this story about a judge who feared not God or man. And in his courtroom every day, there was a woman seeking justice for her son. And he told her, "Don't bother me. I'm too busy to deal with these other things." And yet, every time he held court, there she was. Amen. And after a while, because of her constant coming, her constant seeking, amen, her constant knocking, he said, "Woman, what is it you need? I'm going to take your case today. We're going to settle this thing." Now, Jesus is not saying God is like that, that God is impervious to our needs, our hurts. In fact, He taught the Father knows the very hairs of our head, that He sees every sparrow that falls. What He's saying is, if this unjust judge that didn't have any love or concern for this woman and would not be pressured by God or man, amen, he was so confident in himself and the authority that had been granted him, if he would acquiesce because someone kept showing up and was persistent, how much more would our Heavenly Father, who loved us enough to give His own Son to save us, how much more will God respond to you, and how God would respond to me? Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him." Friend, I want to declare unto you today that the Lord hears and answers prayer, that He cares about you, and He cares about me. And we are told in the Scripture to pray without ceasing, to never give up on God, and therefore never give up on the power and the privilege of prayer. Ah, Jesus said men ought always to pray, and not to faint, not to give in, and not to give up. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, I pray that you will pray. That you will pray a prayer that has been prayed by millions of people all over the world in hundreds of different languages, but it always comes out the same. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to continue to live the life that I'm living. I'm coming to you to receive your Son as my Savior. Jesus, I receive you. Come into my heart. Change my heart and change my life. I've already changed my mind. It can be renewed by the Word of God after you become a Christian, but it can only be changed by an act of your will. And I pray right now that you will heed His call, that you will come to Him and you will come to know Him as your Lord and your personal Savior. Amen. He loves you so much today that He gave His Son that you might be saved. And if you're a Christian today and your prayer life is either non-existent or just reduced to saying a form prayer as a formality over the offering at church, maybe you're over the food at home, ah, friend, come into the presence of your God and your Father. Make your needs known. Pour your heart out, as David said. Pour your heart out before Him. Let Him know you trust Him enough to jump into His arms and trust that He will not let you fall. Let Him sustain you through your trials, your tests, your deepest valleys. Go back to God again. Pray again. Pray without ceasing. Never, 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 never give up on God. Because, friend, God will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. I want to close with this thought today as we get ready to conclude this broadcast. John R. Mott said, "The church has not yet touched the fringe of the possibilities of intercessory prayer. Her largest victories will be witnessed when individual Christians everywhere come to recognize their priesthood unto God and day by day give themselves unto prayer." No matter how you feel, no matter what you see, how discouraged you may be, pray anyway. Pray anyway that God may answer, that you may receive the help you need, and God receive the glory for His goodness, His greatness, His kindness to you and to me. Oh, we love you. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?